laid up in the coupe back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit is stopping. Introduced like I'm shining, you my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch ya. Perfume down to your structure. Think I wait.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call me. On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not the ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up of the disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird can let baby curve. Girl, put your ass and the thumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here.
Good afternoon, this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk. Welcome to the show. And we're going to talk about astronomy without my glasses. So I left my glasses somewhere. Is there anything new in the world of astronomy? I think there is, but I haven't been keeping track lately. So we're going to talk about a galactic ghoul. What's a galactic ghoul? Well, it's not universe, it's Halloween. So we have to talk about ghouls or something, right? And we're going to talk about a Darth Vader helmet. Here's how NASA might bring home pieces of Mars in a Darth Vader helmet. Interesting. And there's a question. Is a new particle changing the fate of the universe? Okay. So here we are on our comfortable Earth. Everything seems to be going okay. But our planet is not doing so well. It's the sea level rises. On the news today said in the Vancouver area within 30 years, it's predicted it could flood the airport or Richmond and Delta. So these are all to do with global warming, and NASA's helping with global warming. And it's got its satellites up in the air and monitoring things on the Earth. So that's a good thing. And I always talk about things like that, and I was looking for something like that today. And there's nothing about that. So maybe because I'm on livescience.com, not .com. So I think NASA would cover that. So maybe I'll go later to the NASA website. So today we're going to start with a galactic ghoul. So what's a galactic ghoul? The discovery made the hairs rise in the back of the astronomers' necks. So it must be scary. Or it must be so cool that they were blown away by it. We'll see. But anyway, it's on livescience.com. And the website, or the article again says, astronomers discover glowing galactic ghoul. I wonder if it's Halloween on Mars or the moon or any other place in the universe. That's a thing to think about. So we're talking about galactic ghouls. It's on livescience.com. It says 5 hours ago, so it was today, October 31. And we're going to talk about it. So it's a strange-looking form. It's called Makani, a rendering of the huge Makani Nebula and fast outflow. So it does look like some kind of monster or ghost. It's really cool. So it says Keck Cosmic Web Imager. So again, if you want to see the cosmic ghoul, go to livescience.com, and it says astronomers discover glowing galactic ghoul. It does look like a monster with two holes positioned beautifully to look like eyes, maybe a hole with the noses and a mouth and all this weird nebulous stuff flowing around it. So it looks pretty cool. It's a classic Halloween tale. A group of ghost hunters visit a grand old house that is rumored to be haunted. But after thoroughly exploring, they leave disappointed. There are no ghosts to be seen. Only later, when looking through their photographs of the place, do they notice the mysterious apparition on the stairs. It was there all the time. So there's a lot of shows today about Halloween, like these comedy shows, these sitcoms, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I think Leave It to Beaver was in a haunted house. And in Mayberry, they're going to go to a haunted house too on the Andy Griffith Show. So all day long, they're talking about Halloween. So here we go. In our new work, published in Nature, we were shocked to discover an apparition of galactic proportions when looking at a familiar galaxy. The finding has huge significance because it demonstrates how chemical elements mix on very large scales around galaxies. Your body, the Earth, and all the material world around you is made out of a class of particles called baryons. Baryonic matter is normal, everyday matter, such as carbon. So we're initially connected to the stuff. So there's all kinds of baryons and fermions and all kinds of ions. And I think it's called particle physics, maybe. So for Halloween, we might do the 50 weirdest galaxies in the universe. We'll see if I have time for it. Imagine you can pull all the baryons in the universe into a jar. Now pick one of those particles at random. Where do you think it would have come from? Another human, a planet, another galaxy entirely? The answer is surprising to most. It's likely that baryon would have come from the space between galaxies. Most of the normal matter in the universe isn't confined within galaxies at all. I didn't know that. When the universe was just a few hundred thousand years old, baryonic matter and dark matter, I think electrons might be baryons, I don't know, an invisible and unknown substance making up the majority of matter in the universe, were intermingled in a nearly uniform fog. This was rippled with small density fluctuations, and over time these were amplified by gravity, which teased them into a network of filaments lacing through the universe. We call it the cosmic web. Wow. So that's called the cosmic web. At the densest points of the, so let's read it again. When the universe was just a few hundred thousand years old, baryonic matter and dark matter were intermingled in a nearly uniform fog. This was rippled with small density fluctuations, and over time these were amplified by gravity, which teased them into a network of filaments lacing through the universe. So they were teased into a network by gravity, or no, amplified by gravity, and then the gravity teased them into a network of filaments. All this matter. Okay, we call it the cosmic web. At the densest points of the web, galaxies form. In those galaxies, about a few hundred million years after the Big Bang, hydrogen started to burn in stars, and nuclear fusion forged heavy elements, including carbon and oxygen. Other elements were formed in cataclysmic stellar explosions. So, it doesn't say how stars formed here, I guess, in the usual way. It's in a nebula, or it's in an interstellar cloud. It collapses on itself, and it forms a star. Okay, so hydrogen was burning in stars, and then nuclear fusion forged heavier elements. Other elements were formed in cataclysmic stellar explosions. At the center of the galaxy, supermassive black holes grew by accumulating baryons, releasing energy in the process. The blaze of young stars, the explosions of supernovae, and the intensity of black holes have an important effect. They drive flows of gas through and out of galaxies. We've known for a long time that this feedback is essential for regulating the growth of galaxies and for mixing the different chemical elements in regions between stars. Without such mixing, you wouldn't exist. Isn't that cool? So let's read that again. We've known for a long time that the feedback is essential for regulating the growth of galaxies and for mixing the different chemical elements in regions between stars. So the supernovas and stars and explosions, all that, they drive flows of gas through and out of galaxies. Without such mixing, you wouldn't exist. Some of the iron in your blood comes from supernovae, and the carbon comes from the ash of long-dead stars. We are all what the baddies in Harry Potter may call cosmic mudbloods. So some people like to refer to us as we're made of stardust, but another astronomer said, we're made of nuclear waste. And I guess they're both true, because the nuclear or the elements that are formed in nuclear explosion in stars, that's what the Earth and us are made of. So we're nuclear waste or stardust, whatever one you want. The blaze of young. Okay, sorry, I read that. Some of the flows of gas driven by star formation and black hole growth. Where are we? Some of the flows of gas driven by star formation and black hole growth can escape galaxies emerging into circumgalactic medium, or CGM. There's another acronym for us. This is the interface between the interstellar medium, the stuff between stars, and the wider intergalactic medium, the stuff between galaxies. So let's get this straight. There's interstellar medium, stuff between stars, and intergalactic medium, the stuff between galaxies. Okay. These winds transport heavy elements forming the galaxies out into the cosmic galactic medium. Some of these elements will later rain back down, perhaps to be incorporated into new solar systems. Others will spend the rest of eternity exiled in intergalactic space. Computer simulations show this process in beautiful detail. But while we can measure outflows around galaxies in the real universe, we have not directly observed them on very large scales, which stretch hundreds of thousands of light years around galaxies until now. Ooh, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? So what I'm going to do now, why not go for a break? I'll leave you hanging in suspense because I'm going to introduce something cool now. And after we come back, we are going to talk more astronomy. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You are listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
5-4.
No problem, no problem.
No problem, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby girl, there's something about the way you talk. Baby, come wine for me. I mash it up so much that you never come walk. So don't take your time on me. She had a boy like me before. She says I talk about the other two. She knows that I'm still that nigga chilling on the block. I'm still that nigga chilling on the block.
Hello, this is Marco, and you're listening to Astro Talk with Stefan Don on CITR 101.9.
We guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day. Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Send me wine up the ting till it pile up. Big bumper girl just a wine and a oil up. They must spoil me a stock till it pile up. My money no, so it my
you
money
dance now. Like you mean it. Dance like you on fire and you want me to know. You move like you mean it, shawty. See the look on your face. You either wanna fight or wanna make love, maybe both. Got me looking at you, watching the way you wind it and pop it. One more time, go wind and pop it, yeah, yeah. Bumper that drink got me feeling alright. Pretty little thing, I could watch it all night. Pull up on that bumper, girl, I just might. Pull up on that bumper, girl, I just might. Baby, push back when I jump behind it. When I jump behind it. So when I jump behind it, push back on me. So baby, push back when I jump behind it. Baby, let me know you like it. Tonight, let's give them something to see. Everybody's singing.
Chasing my booty amazing. Come on, baby, chase it. Back to the floor, give us space. And
looking at me, watching the way I wanted him popping. One more time, I wanted him popping. Yeah.
Well known pimp, narcotics king, big time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby.
Loading Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome back. This is Marco. I love the guy's voice. I love that commercial. I play it too often. Okay, we're talking about a galactic ghoul. This is an article I'm reading on livescience.com. It says it released 5 hours ago, so today, by James Geach, Professor of Astrophysics and Royal Society University Research Fellow, University of Hertfordshire. Okay, so the name of the article is Astronomers Discover Glowing Galactic Ghoul. So it's a nebula, I guess. And it looks just so beautiful. It looks with two ghoulish eyes, all kinds of different colors, a nose, maybe a mouth, but all these filaments and all this gas around it. So nice. So again, astronomers discover glowing galactic ghoul. Now we're going to read the interesting part of the article, I guess. We have not directly observed these filaments or these outflows in around the galaxies in the real universe, which stretch hundreds of thousands of light years around galaxies until now. So now they've imaged or viewed them. Let's see what it says. So this is a subtitle for a paragraph, a galactic ghost. We have used an instrument called the Keck Cosmic Wave Imager to observe a galaxy that is part of a sample of galaxies we have been studying for some time. The instrument, based in Hawaii, is no ordinary camera. It measures the spectrum of light collected by the telescope, dispersing the light into its different frequencies of color. This allows us to see much more than would otherwise be possible with a traditional imaging camera. Oh, good. They talked about Hawaii. That good. Just remind me. I've got my observatory shirt. It says Mauna Kea Observatories. It's on that big mountain in Hawaii. So I went up there. I saw them. It was freezing cold. And, of course, I had my shirt, my short-sleeve shirt and my shorts on, and everybody else had parkas. So then I took my shirt off, so it was really cool. I was a movie star. Everybody took pictures with me. So yeah, I was up there. I saw those marvelous, marvelous observatories. And they made us leave at the end of the day. So I guess our heat would have been picked up by the telescopes, and the heat from our bodies and cars would have been picked up by the telescopes, and it could have gave a false signal. So anyway, here it goes, a galactic ghost. So they use the instrument called the Keck Cosmic Wave Imager to observe a galaxy and its spectrum. The galaxies were of interest because they are known to be driving extremely fast outflows of gas, traveling at 1,000 kilometers per second or more. They are also extremely compact compared to most galaxies. So 1,000 kilometers per second, we can get from here to LA in 2 seconds if we could travel that fast. That'd be cool. We think that most of them formed from the collision of two galaxies that have now coalesced into one, or coalesced, whatever you like. When we looked at the KCWI data for the first time, it made the hairs rise on the back of our necks. We expected to detect something, but what we saw really surprised us. Surrounding the galaxy was a huge cloud of glowing gas, resembling the shape of an hourglass, nearly a third of a million light years across. This glowing nebula dwarfs the central galaxy, but without KCWI, you wouldn't know it was there. There's nothing paranormal going on here, though. From the color or frequency of the light, we know it is being emitted by oxygen ions. Our analysis shows that the nebula has formed as the result of two distinct gas outflows, winds that have propagated from the central galaxy into the CGM. We call the nebula Makani, a Hawaiian word for wind, out of respect for the cultural significance of the mountain from which the observations were made. I think in Hawaii, too, on Maui, they have an observatory or a telescope, and they want to make more. But whenever you do something like that, you run into opposition from various people, so I don't know how that's going. In Makani, we are seeing directly for the first time the mechanism by which the CGM. So let me go back up and find what CGM means. It told me earlier, and you know what? It's somewhere in here, and guess what? I can't find it. Oh, circumgalactic medium, CGM. They used the fancy word because they want to fool me, and they did their job. They fooled me. So in Makani, we are seeing directly for the first time the mechanism by which the CGM is being heated and enriched. Our initial analysis shows that the properties of the outflow broadly agree with predictions from theory. We now have the ideal system to study the process and can use this data to refine the models. What's needed now is more examples of objects like Makani. And like the investigators we are, our team is now on the hunt for other specters lurking out there. Okay, so there we have it. We saw a cosmic ghoul. I guess the article informed us that there's stuff in between galaxies, not just in between stars. And it says here there's a lot of it. And for the best thing for all of us, we just saw a cosmic ghoul. So isn't that cool? Oh. So one thing I do like about the LiveScience.com, it has the top 10 or top 15 lists. So here's one. I don't know if I'll go through all of them. The 15 weirdest galaxies in our universe. So let's look at this. Missing matter. In 2018, Hubble spied something never seen before, a galaxy with almost no dark matter. The discovery immediately raised flags. Dark matter interacts with gravity, but not with light. It makes up most of the total amount of the universe than the matter we can see. So finding a galaxy without any was bizarre, to say the least. Okay, now here's a good one for Halloween. This is called a zombie galaxy. So what's a zombie galaxy? The massive disc-shaped galaxy MACS 2129-1 spins twice as fast as the Milky Way, but it's still not nearly as active. Hubble observations of the distant galaxy reveal that it hasn't made stars for some 10 billion years. So it's a zombie. So it's a dead galaxy because stars no longer form there. So that's called a zombie galaxy. Now we're going to read about, this is very apt for Halloween, a cannibal galaxy. As if zombie galaxies weren't spooky enough, some galaxies are giant cannibals. The Andromeda Galaxy has been devouring smaller galaxies for at least 10 billion years. In another 4.5 million years, the Andromeda Galaxy and Milky Way will collide, although it's not yet clear who will devour whom in the cosmic pileup. Earthlings, unfortunately, will not be around to see this clash play out, as our own sun is heating up and will likely make life on Earth impossible about 1 billion to 5 billion years from now. But you never know. Human beings could find another place to live. Okay, here's a tadpole swims through space. 300 million light years away, an enormous tadpole swims through space. This tadpole galaxy, and it does look like a tadpole, has a tail that's a whopping 500,000 light years long and is 10 times longer than the Milky Way. Ooh, now we're going to talk about a luminous thief. So what's a luminous thief? It isn't obvious yet. Galaxies frequently interact with another, squeezing their neighbors into new shapes, stealing stars, and carrying on with other shenanigans. I love that, shenanigans, especially when galaxies carry on shenanigans. Those are the best shenanigans, aren't they? The brightest known galaxy in the universe is one of those thieves. In 2018, scientists observed the galaxy W2246-0526, sucking up half the mass of three nearby galaxies. Ooh, it is a thief. Astronomers were able to observe streamers of mass connecting the galaxies. At least they were doing that more than 12 billion years ago, when that light began its journey towards Earth. The observation is the most distant direct snapshot of galactic cannibalism and the only known example of a galaxy siphoning off more than one neighbor at a time. So, I remember a couple weeks ago, I missed Snoopy's and Charlie Brown's Halloween. So, I hope it's on tonight. I want to see something like that. Okay. Oh, here's a doomed little cub. What's a doomed little cub? Probably the cutest named galaxy ever. Little cub sits in the constellation Ursa Major. This dwarf galaxy has been largely dormant since the Big Bang, which means it might contain molecules unchanged since just moments after the Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago. Little cub is also doomed. Poor little cub. It's being consumed by its larger neighbor, a Milky Way-like galaxy called NGC 3359. Still, the opportunity to watch NGC 3359 strip the star-forming gases from little cub is valuable to science because astronomers may be able to measure the signatures of those early universe molecules before they're gone. So far we've seen a little cub, a luminous thief, a tadpole swimming through space, a cannibal galaxy, a zombie galaxy, and I read an article on a ghoul nebula. Isn't that cool? Now, let's see. Cosmic vermin. Now, that's what I like. Cosmic vermin. This image looks more like a psychedelic bit of dandelion puff than a cosmological phenomena, but this snapshot captured by Hubble has nothing to do with botany. What you're seeing is a galaxy, the smudge at the lower right, beginning to pass behind a star, the dandelion-looking spiky sphere. The galaxy is nicknamed the Vermin Galaxy by some scientists because its light gets in the way of studying the closer star in its system. So what's so weird about that? It looks weird, but it's not weird. In 2020, the star will fully obscure the galaxy. Before then, scientists can study the spectra of light as the galaxy makes its transit behind the star, perhaps gleaning some information about the debris around the star from the light that makes its way through. So that was kind of weak. It said, it's not strange. Oh, here's one. The eye. Ever feel like you're being watched? The disk of spiral galaxy IC2163 seems to peer out into space with an enormous eye. Actually, two eyes. One eye is lighter. The eye-shaped feature is actually a huge stream of stars and dust produced when IC2163 brushed against another spiral, NGC 202207. These ocular features last only a few 10 million years. Yeah, we better go see it before it expires. That's a blink of an eye. Pun intended. It's not funny. That's a blink of an eye in the span of a galaxy. So discovering one is a unique opportunity. Actually, it looks like two eyes. One's dimmer, but it looks spooky. It's perfect for Halloween. And there's something, I don't know if it's good for Halloween. It's called the two hearts. So let's read about two hearts. So here we have, most galaxies are probably anchored by supermassive black holes at their center. A few, though, contain not one, but two black holes. So it's got two hearts, two black holes. One of these is NGC 7674, a spiral galaxy whose center boasts a pair of black holes, a mere light year apart. Just a mere light year. That's not far. The galaxy, 400 million miles from Earth, probably collected the spare black hole during a collision and merged with another galaxy. The only other galaxy to have two black holes as hearts is a supermassive galaxy called 0402+37. Okay, we've looked at enough galaxies, but let's just read one more. It's called Arrested Development. Now, this could be cool. What does that mean? When you're a galaxy, you've got to consume all other galaxies or die. Galaxy NGC 1277 chose the latter. This galaxy, first reported in 2018, is a mere 240 million light years from Earth. Just the mere 240 million light years. It hasn't formed new stars for about 10 billion years, making it a dead galaxy. Astronomers believe NGC 1277 became stunted because it's moving too fast to gobble up other galaxies in its gravitational pull. It's traveling through space at about 2 million miles per hour or 3.2 million kilometers per hour. Without gas and dust from other from alien galaxies, NGC 1277 no longer forms stars. Some astronomers think that most galaxies starting out looking a lot like NGC 1277, evolving spiral and other shapes only through later merging with another one. Okay, I got to read one more. I'm sorry. It says, coming our way. I got to read that. Most galaxies appear to be moving away from Earth because space is still expanding. Not Messier 90. This spiral galaxy is about 60 million light years from Earth, and it's moving towards the Milky Way. Yay, we got another friend. Astronomers can detect this movement because the light coming from Messier 50 is skewed towards the blue of the light and skewed towards the blue end of the light spectrum. Objects moving away from Earth are redshifted, meaning their light emissions are weighted towards red. Messier 90 is a part of a large group of galaxy called the Virgo Cluster. It can be seen from the northern hemisphere in May with a telescope or binoculars, sitting between the constellations Virgo and Leo, according to NASA. So there we have it, some of the weirdest things in our universe. So why don't I do this? You know what I might do? Let's see. I'm trying to get organized here. That's what I'm doing, because I'm not so organized. So what I got to do is find where, okay, you know what I'll do? I'll play an ad or a PSA or a promo. And when I come back, we're going to talk more about astronomy. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You are listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunya.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
This is going out to the whole wide west side. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Break it down for me. Steady mobbing, rock, rock on. I was just a young boy living in the hub city.
Eastside Compton.
Back in the days when Ice Cube and Easy had every talking about, boy, you can't.
This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 on the west side at UBC.
Too short, bumped in every super's boat and told us all how to ride for the west coast.
My people singing, meet me where you at, throw your gloves in the air and wave them like you just don't care. From LA to the Bay, what you say? All day, every day, any damn day. Take a look around, we got the whole world locked down. Stop, won't stop, can't stop, get the ride or die.
That's why I put it down for the west side.
It seemed that long ago.
Oh no.
We were still in 40s out the liquor store.
Oh no.
Mama started tripping, so it's time to go.
Out to the park with the locusts.
Everybody broke, smoking roaches.
DJ Quick West the had every claiming he was from the CPT.
Y'all remember?
One time tried to clown. We had to burn this bitch on down.
One time for my was in incarceration.
I blaze a dime with you for having lots of patience.
Two times for my sisters at the county bill.
I got some Westside love for all you ghetto children.
Three times for my that passed away.
I took some shoes for you and pray for better days.
One day everything's gonna be fine. But until that day, my only reply is
Westside till I
die. Where you at? Throw your gloves in the air.
Wave them like you just don't care.
From LA to the Bay, what you say?
All day, every day.
Any damn day.
Take a look around.
Don't just live for the weekends anymore. Live for Thursdays when there's Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 with Marco. You're in the bright lights in the big city in Vancouver listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
But there's something about Saturday night. You can't say what you won't do, cause you know that you're just mine. I'm alive this evening. It was love at first sight. Of this Saturday and every Saturday for the rest of my life. And everyone standing in line. Yeah, looking good and looking for a real good time.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
It's all right.
Bright lights ever.
Thank you, welcome back. That was CeeLo. And it's the weekend coming, and it's going to be Halloween tonight and the whole weekend, so we're going to have a party. Great. Okay. Wonder if they ever had Halloween in Luke Skywalker's neighborhood. What's the name of the planet? Tatooine? Dantooine? I don't remember. Or any other place. Sure looked like Halloween where Luke went inside that bar with Han Solo and the guy tried to kill him. So what does Obi-Wan Kenobi do? Slices the guy's hand off. Now that would be a good Halloween trick, right? Slicing people's hands off. No, it wouldn't. but a fake hand would. Okay, so we're back on Astro Talk. It's Halloween. Everybody's getting ready to party. All the kids and people in here are dressing up. So let's see what we're going to talk about on Halloween. We talked about ghouls and ghosts, ghoul galaxies and all this. So let's talk about this. Is a new particle changing the fate of the universe? So that's a question. So that means it's not. Okay. Astronomers around the world. So this is from livescience.com. It's a nice picture. It's dated, a day ago yesterday, October 30, and the article is called, Is a New Particle Changing the Fate of the Universe? So, isn't that cool? One of the paragraphs down there say, Hubble, Hubble, toil and trouble. We'll get there soon. Okay. Astronomers around the world are in a bit of a tizzy because they can't seem to agree about how fast the universe is expanding. Ever since our universe emerged from a tiny explosion of a tiny speck of infinite density and gravity, it has been ballooning and not at a steady rate either. The expansion of the universe keeps getting faster. But how quickly it's expanding has been up for a dizzying debate. Measurements of this expansion rate from nearby sources seem to be in conflict with the same measurement taken from distant sources. One possible explanation is that basically something funky, that's what we like, something funky is going on in the universe, changing the expansion rate. So we're talking about funky stuff now. Good. And one theorist has proposed that a brand new particle has emerged and is altering the future density of our entire cosmos. Okay. Now here's the subparagraph. It says, Hubble, Hubble, toil and trouble. That's cool. Now let's read what it says. Astronomers have devised multiple clever ways of measuring what they call the Hubble parameter, or Hubble constant, denoted for the folks with busy lives as HO. The number represents the expansion rate of the universe today. One way to measure the expansion rate is to look at it nearby supernovas, and that's a particular kind of supernova that has a very specific brightness, so we can compare how bright they look to how bright we know they're supposed to be and calculate the distance. Then, by looking at the light from the supernova's host galaxy, astrophysicists can calculate how fast they are moving away from us. By putting all the pieces together, we then can calculate the universe expansion rates. Yes, we can calculate it. That's what I do in my spare time. I calculate the expansion rate of the universe. That's pretty cool. Okay. But there's more to the universe than exploding stars. There's also something called the cosmic microwave background, which is the leftover light from just after the Big Bang, when our universe was a mere baby. Yes, it was a baby one time, only 380,000 years old, with missions like the Planck satellite tasked with mapping this remnant radiation. It's all kind of flashes going in front of my eyes. There's a video here, and there's supernovas, and then there's cosmic microwave. Then they have a flash, and it looks pretty cool. You should go to it. Again, this article, it looks pretty good. It says, is a new particle changing the fate of the universe? It's on Live Science, and it's a day ago. Okay, but there's more to the universe than exploding stars. There's the cosmic microwave background. So it can be used to get a very accurate picture of the contents of the universe. And from there, we can take those ingredients, run the clock forward with computer models, and be able to say what the expansion rate should be today, assuming that the fundamental ingredients of the universe haven't changed since then. Here's something related. From Big Bang to present, snapshots at our universe through time. I'll look at that another time. These two estimates disagree by enough to make people a little bit worried that we're missing something. So they look at the cosmic microwave background. They can measure the expansion rate of the universe. Then they look at supernovas far away. From that, they can measure the expansion rate of the universe. And guess what? They don't match. So is that serious? Well, we'll read on. Look to the dark side. Perhaps one or both measurements are incorrect or incomplete. Plenty of scientists on either side of the debate are slinging the appropriate amount of mud at their opponents. But if we assume that both measurements are accurate, then we need something else to explain the different measurements. Since one measurement comes from the very early universe and another comes from more relatively recent time, the thinking is that maybe some new ingredients in the cosmos is altering the expansion rate of the universe in a way that we don't already capture in our models. And what's dominating the expansion of the universe today is a mysterious phenomena that we call dark energy. It's an awesome name for something we basically don't understand. All we know is that the expansion rate of the universe today is accelerating, and we call the force driving this acceleration dark energy. Fair enough. In our comparisons from the young universe to the present, physicists assume dark energy is constant, but with this assumption, we have the present disagreement. So maybe dark energy is changing. I guess it's worth a shot. Let's assume that dark energy is changing. Okay, scientists have a sneaking suspicion that dark energy has something to do with the energy that's locked into the vacuum of space-time itself. This energy comes from all the quantum fields that permeate the universe. In modern quantum physics, every single kind of particle is tied to its own particular field. These fields wash through all of space-time, and sometimes bits of the field get really excited in places, becoming the particles that we know and love, like electrons and quarks and neutrinos. Since all the electrons belong to the electric field, all the neutrinos belong to the neutrino field, and so on. The interaction of these fields from the fundamental basis for our understanding of the quantum world. And no matter where you go in the universe, you can't escape the quantum fields. Even when they're not vibrant enough in a particular location to make a particle, they're still there, wiggling and vibrating and doing their normal quantum thing. Which is easy to understand, right? What is their normal thing? So these quantum fields have a fundamental amount of energy associated with them, even the bare, empty vacuum itself. Okay, it's losing me a bit, but I'll go on. If we want to use the exotic quantum energy of the vacuum of space-time to explain dark energy, we immediately run into problems. Well, of course we do. Who doesn't know that? When we perform some very simple, very naive calculations of how much energy there is in the vacuum due to all the quantum fields, we end up with a number that is about 120 orders of magnitude stronger than what we observe dark energy to be. Whoops. Okay. On the other hand, when we try something more sophisticated, or when we try some more sophisticated calculations, we end up with a number that is zero, which also disagrees with the measured amount of dark energy. Whoops again. So no matter what, we have a real hard time trying to understand dark energy through the language of vacuum energy of space-time, which is the energy created by those quantum fields. Okay, now a new enemy appears. In a recent paper, theoretical physicist Massimo Cerdonio at University of Padua has calculated the amount of change in the quantum fields needed to account for the change in dark energy. If there is a new quantum field that's responsible for the change in dark energy, this means there is a new particle out there in the universe. This article's kind of deep, so I'm going to go to a new one, okay? Let's see, what's the time? 2:56, it's time almost to sign off. Okay, so what do we read now? Do we read asteroid impacts might wipe out alien life around dwarf stars? Or do we read here's how NASA might bring home pieces of Mars in a Darth Vader helmet? I'll read that one. So that's a day ago, because I know I'm going to see some little kid walking around with a Darth Vader helmet and a Darth Vader costume. Okay, here it goes. Scientists studying Mars have wanted pieces of the red planet here on Earth for decades. They are finally getting their shot at designing a mission to acquire such souvenirs. The Apollo program's legacy of carefully collected moon rocks reshaped the science of the moon and Earth. A Mars sample return mission could offer the same sort of potential, but the red planet is a more daunting target than the moon. More daunting, but well worth the effort. Brian Muirhead, who is leading the effort to develop a Mars sample return mission at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California, said in a presentation here at the 70th International Astronautical Congress, and quote, "It's the consensus of the science community today that if we're going to answer the hardest questions about Mars, like, for example, whether life showed up on Mars, we're going to need to bring material from Mars to our terrestrial laboratories," end quote. I guess that makes sense. Arranging a mission to bring the samples back is a challenge, one that NASA intends to tackle in a partnership with the European Space Agency. And here's another quote. This process is remarkably interrelated. Everything is connected to everything else in some way. End quote. There are a host of spacecraft components, NASA's Mars 2020 rover to select the samples, a fetch rover to pick up those samples, a rocket to launch them off the red planet, a capsule to bring them back to Earth. Mars 2020 will depart next summer and head towards Jezero Crater for a February 2021 landing. It will be conducting its own investigations and stashing away intriguing rocks for its successors to bring home. Okay, so there's going to be, we're going to bring back Mars rocks. Isn't that cool? So this is not easy. This is an article on LifeScience.com. It says, here's how NASA might bring home pieces of Mars in a Darth helmet. So there's all kinds of pictures, there's videos, there's simulations, and it's going to be a partnership, if it does go, between NASA and the European Space Agency. So again, there's some cool stuff happening in astronomy. Here's another article. Colliding galaxies form piercing eyes of ghost face in new Hubble telescope. Another ghost. Isn't that cool? 5,000 mini eyes just blinked open to scan the skies for dark energy. So what's that about? I'm going to read it quickly because I'm due to go soon. Where am I? Here we go. 5,000 mini eyes just blinked open to scan the skies for dark energy. Thousands of tiny eyes have just blinked open and will soon scan 35 million galaxies for evidence of dark energy. These 5,000 miniscopes make up the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, DESI, which was installed on the Mayo telescope at the Kitt Peak National Observatory in Arizona. Astronomers recently completed the first test run of the nearby complete DESI, which from its high mountain perch will soon scan the cosmos for dark energy beginning early next year. With DESI, scientists are combining a modern instrument with a venerable old telescope to make a state-of-the-art survey machine. Okay, so you know what? It's amazing in America. I just love it, where there's so much astronomy going on, so many telescopes, so many missions, so many other things. So I think that's very cool. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening, you two or one people, whoever you are, and I'll be back next week to talk more astronomy. So guess what? It's Halloween. We're all going to have a fun day and either party or watch little kids walking around in their costumes who are so cute. So thank you for listening. Now let me get this thing going. Thank you. This is Marco. You have listened to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.